Okay, so are you ready to dive into some family history?
Always up for a good genealogy adventure. What have we got today?
Well, get this. We're going all the way back to medieval England.
Ooh, medieval, huh? That's always an interesting period. Lots of drama.
You got that right. We're talking about your ancestors.
Oh.
And let's just say they were a little wilder than you might think.
Wilder. Okay, you've piqued my curiosity. We talking knights and battles or something even more exciting?
Think less shining armor, more like sneaking around in the woods with a bow and arrow.
Poaching. You're talking about poaching, aren't you?
Bingo. We're diving into some fascinating records from the Royal Forest to Pickering. And let me tell you, this wasn't just a borrowed a rabbit kind of situation.
Ah, so we're talking royal territory then. High stakes.
You said it. These records paint a picture of poaching as practically a family business, with some folks risking it all for a chance to hunt in the king's backyard.
I can already tell this is going to be good. The king's land, family feuds. What kind of trouble are we getting into today?
Well, imagine being told you couldn't hunt on your own land.
What? Why on earth not?
Because the king declared it a giant royal hunting ground. Talk about bad neighbors, am I right?
No kidding. We're talking about huge tracts of land, right? I mean, the Royal Forest of Pickering stretched all the way from York to the sea.
Exactly. And all of it's subject to what they called forest law. And let me tell you, breaking those rules, not a good idea.
I bet. What were we looking at? A slap on the wrist.
Oh, much worse. We're talking huge fines, imprisonment, even the threat of physical punishment, the works.
Oof, that's intense. So basically, don't even think about messing with the king's deer. Who is enforcing these laws anyway?
They had these folks called verderers. Think of them like medieval park rangers, but with a lot less patience for rule breakers.
Okay, so we're talking about serious consequences. But who exactly were these brave souls who were willing to risk it all for a chance to hunt in the king's forest?
Well, you might be surprised to learn they weren't hardened criminals. They were everyday people, just like you and me. Millers, blacksmiths.
Really? Everyday folks. I always picture poachers as being, well, a bit rough around the edges.
I know, right? But that's what makes these records so interesting. Take Roger Millen, for instance. He was a miller. Apparently, he had a bit of a taste for venison.
A miller with a taste for venison, huh? Sounds like my kind of guy. Makes you wonder if he was sneaking some of that poached deer into his flour sacks, eh?
Now we can't speculate, but it does make you think about the challenges they faced. Remember that great famine that hit Europe back in 1315?
Oh, yeah, devastating times.
Times were tough, and for folks like Roger Milne, putting food on the table might have meant bending the rules a bit.
Right, desperate times call for desperate measures. It's
Yeah.
easy to judge from our comfy chairs, but they were just trying to survive.
Exactly. But it wasn't just about survival, was it?
You're catching on. These records, they tell a more complex story, you see. There's this pattern of entire families, entire communities participating in poaching.
So, like a big stick it to the man movement, medieval style. Love it.
Huh.
But what kind of stuff did they get up to? Tell me more about these rebellious acts.
Well, at first it was small stuff, you know? Snaring a deer here, setting a trap for a wild boar there, just trying to get by.
Makes sense. But it didn't stay small for long, did it?
Nope. Things escalated, especially in the late 1300s. That's when we start to see these large-scale poaching operations.
Ooh, organized crime, Robin Hood style. What kind of grand heists are we talking about? Give me the details.
Okay, get this. The year is 1384. A massive cattle raid goes down. We're talking 30 horses, 20 mares, 100 oxen, and 100 cows all gone.
Holy cow. That's a whole lot of beef on the move. It makes you wonder if there were secret underground cattle drives happening through those forests.
Great. And the name at the center of it all? John Farndale?
Farndale, huh? Okay, this just got personal.
Well, if your ancestors are from this area, you might want to check those family trees. And get this, it wasn't just a one-time thing. We see his name pop up again and again.
A repeat offender. Now that's my kind of ancestor. Who else was in on the action?
Let's see. We've got William Smith, a blacksmith who always seemed to get caught.
The poor guy. Some people just aren't cut out for a life of crime, I guess.
And then there's Walter Blackhouse, who was often mentioned as an accomplice of Roger Milne, that miller we were talking about before. Seems like poaching was a family affair for some folks.
A family that poaches together stays together. I love it. I can already picture the holiday dinners. Venison, stolen wine, and tales of outsmarting the king's men.
You're not wrong, but on a serious note, it's these vivid details that make these records so incredibly valuable. They give us a real glimpse into the lives, relationships, and personalities of people from so long ago.
It's like they're coming alive right off the page. And speaking of coming alive, remember that name John Farndale?
The cattle rustling ringleader? How could I forget?
Well, guess where his descendants ended up a couple of centuries later?
Oh, you're talking about John Farndale, right? Well, let's just say his family had a knack for ending up in the right place at the right time.
What do you mean?
His descendants, a couple of generations down the line, they ended up settling right in the heart of Barnesdale Forest.
Barnesdale Forest. Okay. You're going to have to refresh my memory on that one.
You know, Barnesdale Forest, the legendary stomping grounds of a certain outlaw we all know and love.
Wait a minute. Are you saying Robin Hood?
You got it.
My family might be connected to Robin Hood? This deep dive just got legendary.
It's a pretty amazing connection, right? We've gone from small-time poachers just trying to make ends meet to a potential link with the most famous outlaw in English folklore.
Okay, I'm speechless. This is incredible.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? Those stories of Robin Hood standing up to the Sheriff of Nottingham fighting for the common man, were they inspired by the real struggles of families like yours?
My mind is blown. So far, we've got daring heists, a family legacy of rule breaking, and now a potential Robin Hood connection. What more could we possibly uncover?
Oh, we're not done yet. Remember, we're tracing your family history through these records. And a few centuries later, things take another unexpected turn.
Okay, you've got my attention. What happened next?
Picture this. It's the Victorian era. England is in the midst of the Industrial Revolution. Everything's changing. And guess what we find when we look at your Farndale ancestors?
Oh, come on. Don't keep me in suspense. Spill it.
They're on the other side of the law.
Wait, what?
That's right. The descendants of those rebellious poachers, the potential Robin Hood clan, they're now the ones upholding the law. Big supporters of anti-poaching measures, actually.
Whoa! Talk about a plot twist.
Yeah.
So the family that was once sneaking around stealing the king's deer is now the one protecting the wealthy landowners. How does that even happen?
Well, it's a great example of how history isn't always black and white, you know? By the Victorian era, land ownership had become a big deal, a symbol of status, wealth, all that. Poaching, which was once seen as a way to survive or even challenge the system, it was now seen as a threat to this new social order.
So for my family, who had worked their way up to becoming landowners themselves, upholding these laws would have been a way of protecting their own interests.
Precisely. It shows how perspectives and motivations can really shift with the times. The world your ancestors were living in, it was constantly evolving. And their actions, while they might seem contradictory on the surface, they were likely driven by this complex mix of social pressures, economic realities, and family legacies.
It's like they went from being the underdogs to becoming the very establishment they once rebelled against. Talk about a family drama. It makes you think, though, what would those earlier generations have thought of this change of heart?
It's a fascinating question, isn't it? Did they see it as a betrayal of their legacy or as a necessary adaptation to a changing world? Unfortunately, the records don't give us those answers, but they do give us something even more valuable.
And what's that?
They give us a glimpse into just how complex history really is, how our ancestors had to navigate those constantly shifting landscapes, and how their choices still resonate with us today.
It's a good reminder that history isn't just about dates and battles. It's about real people. Their choices, their struggles, and sometimes their contradictions.
Absolutely.
You know, when I asked for a deep dive into my family history, I was hoping for some, well, juicy family secrets. I never imagined we'd be uncovering centuries-old connections to, well, you know, Robin Hood.
And the thing is, we've only just scratched the surface here. These records are amazing, don't get me wrong, but they also leave us with so many questions, so many threads left to unravel.
No kidding. Like, how did these families, how did they justify switching sides in, what do we call it, the poaching wars? Did they ever think about their ancestors? You know, the ones who were risking it all for a chance to feed their families? What would they say?
It really makes you think about the whole idea of legacy, doesn't it? What we inherit from those who came before us. It's not just about names on a family tree. It's about those tough choices they made, the circumstances they faced, and sometimes, yeah, even their contradictions.
And talk about contradictions. I mean, from outlaw heroes to respectable landowners, that's quite the family roller coaster. Makes you wonder what was going through their heads.
It really highlights how our understanding of right and wrong, it's not as straightforward as we might think, is it? What might have been an act of defiance back then, even survival, could be taboo just a few generations later.
Absolutely. It's like that old saying, history is written by the victors. But sometimes it's those who colored outside the lines, who challenged the rules. Their stories are the ones that really make you stop and think.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of history, isn't it? It challenges our assumptions, makes us look at the past and maybe even our own lives with a fresh perspective.
So for someone like me, just starting to dig into their family history, what's the biggest takeaway here?
That there's always more to uncover than meets the eye. Every name in your family tree, it's a life lived, choices made, and a story just waiting to be told. And who knows, sometimes the most unexpected twists and turns are the ones that teach us the most about who we are and where we come from.
It's been an incredible journey so far, eye-opening, and if I'm being honest, a little humbling.
I've loved uncovering it all with you.
And on that note, we'll leave you to ponder the hidden depths of your own family history. Who knows what surprises are waiting to be found in those old records? Happy digging.